Happy New Year! We're back, 2026. We're here with Bridging the Gap. I am your host, Darren Chenault, and I'm here with
Kelly Cantwell.
How you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing great. How are you, Darren?
I'm doing well. 2026, I'm awesome.
Lovely.
We are here with two rock stars today. I love it. We're here with Miss, it warms my heart to say this, Kawanda Dedrick Thomas.
Thank you.
Along with Noah, I'm messing it up already, Rosina.
You all got right. It.
Two people that help us out in public safety, and life is good. But Kelly's going to correct me, and I promise you, in 2026, she's not going to correct me. So with that being said, Kelly, I'm going to let
them introduce themselves.
Yes.
Get you.
So we're going to start with Miss Kawanda. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, I am Kawanda Dedrick Thomas. I am a UC alumni. I'm over the DTS Technical Operations Public Safety IT. I have a long title. I've been with the university for going on 23 years now. And I have under me, under my group of technical operations, I have the access control technicians, the intrusion alarms. Well, the access control technicians and the intrusion alarm folks are all the same people. So access control, intrusion alarms, and cameras, and then I also have public safety IT.
So you do a lot.
Yeah, my people do a lot.
Well, you said with that long title. She said she had a long title. So with that long title comes with a lot of responsibility. Yeah. Wow. So who do you have with you today?
I have Noah Rezina with me. He is my project coordinator.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Noah.
Yeah, so I've been with the university for about 2 years now, a little bit over 2 years in my position. And as a project coordinator, I work really closely with folks both in public safety and DTS to get projects done, typically camera-related projects and access control-related projects.
Well, you guys are taking care of us.
Oh, yeah.
You sure are. However, you guys both mentioned DTS, so tell us what DTS stands for and how does DTS and public safety, how do they work together?
So DTS is Digital Technology Solutions. Is the department that's the central IT for all of the university. Recently, I guess it was 2023, I believe it was, we centralized all the different IT groups that are from the different colleges and different departments and all into one department. So DTS is that one department. They have over 400 full-time employees from getting all those different groups and centralizing all into one unit.
So are they throughout the whole campus or is that just with public safety?
Throughout the whole campus. So, say some of the colleges, they have their own IT folks, but those folks report to DTS, to management in DTS. So, I used to report directly to Chief Isaac, but once they centralize, we're now under the Information Security Group of Digital Technology Solutions.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Noah, tell me this. I'm curious, how does DTS and public safety work together? I mean, how's that whole bond come together as it relates to cameras?
Well, as it relates to cameras, we work really closely with DTS, especially on the network side. So one important thing about placing a camera is that it has to be on UC's network. So making sure that we have available switches and that we can get network cabling to that location. So they really assist us with that portion. And then they also help us assign IP addresses to cameras and do things on the back end like that.
Wow. Sounds like a great relationship.
Yeah, it's a great working relationship.
That's way over my head, Kelly. When it comes to camera and technology, it's like, shoo.
Yeah, technology is way over your head.
It definitely is. Thank you for that. You didn't have to let everybody else in.
You're welcome. I have to help you with your email a lot.
You just let the whole world know that. And she does, and I'm proud of it. So that's what happens when you grow old.
I love it.
All right. So tell us, I feel like when I'm interacting with students, one of the things, and parents, they want to know what goes into deciding where a camera is placed.
Oh, so there are a few different factors that go into deciding exactly where a camera is placed. So we, Kawanda mentioned earlier, we work really closely as public safety IT with public safety. So we'll look at recent crime trends and events that have occurred and try to get coverage in those locations. We also work really closely with the different units on campus, so different colleges, to address their individual needs. So we have a work order system where people can go ahead and place a work order, and we'll go out and assess the site to see exactly where cameras would be beneficial for them and where they can maximize their coverage.
How long does that usually take? I'm just curious.
The process, it can really vary. There are a lot of different teams involved, so we're working closely with project services, ourselves as DTS, outside vendors, and then the stakeholders themselves or the customer. So typically it can take anywhere between a month to 2 months.
And just to add on to what Noah was saying about the decisions on where we place cameras, one of the things that we've done recently is decide to put cameras on all the different entrances from the city streets. So we've had a project going where anytime, so like onto Corey Boulevard or onto University Avenue, anywhere where people are coming from off the city streets, we have a camera somewhere nearby to kind of catch who's coming in and out of the campus. And then we also, Noah's working on a pretty big project where we're adding cameras to all the entrances of buildings. So then we can see who's coming in and out of buildings as well.
Well, hold up. Every building?
That's what we're trying.
Every building.
How many buildings does the university have?
About 100 and something. 150, 160.
That's a lot of cameras.
Every entrance of every building is a lot of cameras.
Mm-hmm. It is. It'll be hundreds of cameras by the end of the project.
Be your whole job.
you probably wish it was. Instead of having to deal with that and some other stuff.
Wow, Noah.
So I want to circle back. You said one thing that I thought was really interesting. You talked about how you use crime data for determining camera locations. Can you dive a little more into like how you work with UCPD and, you know, use that information?
Yeah, so we've actually did a large project where we mapped out all of our current cameras on campus, and with the help of UCPD's crime analyst, we were able to get a heat map of crime on campus and kind of overlay it on our site designer to see exactly where events were occurring, where we have cameras currently, and where we could use more coverage.
Oh, that's nice.
That's awesome.
Tell me, I mean, how do you maintain these cameras? We're talking about a lot of cameras on campus. I mean, help me out with the main. How do you maintain all these cameras? Is it like a check? Do you guys?
So, like we were saying before, we have a group of technicians. There are three of them and a manager who basically watch the system, and they do monthly reports of, you know, what cameras are online, what cameras are not. And then they just go and kind of repair if we need repairs. We have a health check on our camera system, so they can see different times where the cameras have gone maybe offline and come back on. We also do firmware updates, so we can have the latest and greatest software for the cameras.
Okay.
We have a group of technicians that keep an eye on that. And if somebody else notices and they can send us a work order or an email to let us know that, hey, we noticed this camera was down, just in case for some reason we missed it, because they mostly do checks monthly.
Okay.
And yeah.
So you talked about the software updates. What about just, you know, technology ages out after a while?
Ages.
So is there also...
Are you talking about me?
Yes.
You said age and I got offensive.
Yeah, I was saying that Darren ages out.
Okay, I was just checking.
the cameras... You know, technology ages out. So is there like a schedule at which you have to replace cameras, or does it just kind of depend on the camera?
So it kind of depends on the camera, how well it's working. We do try to do, we're trying now to get more of a like a 5 to 7 year rotation on replacing the cameras, just for that reason. Technology changes all the time. So they're adding newer things. AI is a big thing right now. So a lot of the cameras, the newer cameras, have that AI capability. So we're trying to get more on a rotation of changing 5 to 7 years or so.
All right. So what does an AI capability in a camera mean?
Noah, do you know that one?
That means you don't have a job. That's what that means.
No, I have a job. I'm not monitoring cameras.
It's just advanced analytics on a camera. So there are certain features that you could turn on a camera, and we have these on our campus as well. So there's cameras that have vehicle counters, so you can count, like you'll draw an imaginary line, let's say, and if a car crosses that imaginary line, it'll start counting and keep an active tracker. There's also vehicle trackers. So if a car is driving on a road, like on our perimeter where we have a lot of traffic, it'll show kind of like the flow of that car and kind of follow that car.
It could give us details like, you know, how many times that car has been around our campus. Say we find, you know, there's a crime or something that happens, and or that's maybe they're planning a crime. Then you could count, you know, get alerts if you notice that a particular car has driven around and been caught on different cameras multiple times, you know, just to kind of see if maybe they're planning something, or, I mean, they could live in the neighborhood.
Right.
But, yep. Yeah.
Tell me this. I'm sorry. I want to kind of go back. You were talking about putting cameras on off-campus areas. How does that work? How do you guys coordinate that with the city of Cincinnati? Is that something that you guys get together? Is that...
No, we don't do off-campus areas. Okay. We just do we have them on campus, but looking as cars or people
gotcha.
Come onto campus.
I got
so
you.
They're still on campus. They just, but we do have, we are about to do a partnership with the city where we can, you know, share kind of cameras.
I know that's a big thing. That's why I asked that. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify that the cameras are on UC property, but they're kind of looking off campus there.
Right. To see who's coming onto campus.
Good deal.
So I think we've touched on this a little bit, but how do these cameras support like public safety and police operations?
Yeah, so it does this in a few different ways. So on the investigative side, it helps our investigators if an incident has occurred to look into that incident, to pull footage. Also, it helps act as just a deterrent in general. If you have a camera placed, there's a less likelihood of a crime to occur. So it helps out in that way. And then also in the events of emergencies or large events, we're able to pull up cameras live to do live monitoring also.
That's great. Wow. I mean, you guys kind of touched on a lot today. I'm kind of impressed.
I'm always impressed.
I mean, the teamwork over there seems like it definitely makes the dream work.
Try to make it work.
You guys are doing a great job. Definitely doing a great job. Kelly, I'm kind of all out of questions because these are some professionals over here.
I mean, I've got a couple more.
2026 people, and she has more questions.
Well, you know, we talked about cameras supporting public safety operations, but like a college or a unit can reach out to you all and request a camera on their building, and that's not necessarily... you know, for a police purpose. I mean, maybe it is for their security, but I feel like the cameras are for more than just policing. So how do you work with, like, colleges and units, and what are their needs for cameras look like?
Yeah, it can really vary depending on the college or unit. So you'll have some colleges reaching out, especially ones that do a large amount of research, that might need to monitor a lab. So they'll need it for a very specific use case. You'll have others that are just using for general security. So they just want to monitor maybe a high traffic hallway, who's coming in and out. So something that we focus on heavily also. So it really just depends. But they'll reach out to us through a work order system, and then we'll meet with that customer. We'll meet with them, project services, a few of our vendors, and then we'll conduct a site walkthrough to see exactly what their needs are, because sometimes they might not exactly know. They just know that they need cameras, but they might not know the best location or what might be most advantageous for them. So that's where we kind of step in, and we'll provide recommendations for them.
So are you the person who gets to go out and walk in a building and look at the ceiling and be like, hey, that looks good?
That's him.
Yep, that is me. And I find myself doing it in my everyday life now, too. So if you ever see me in a Kroger just looking up, that's what I'm doing.
Do you very track busy. Your steps? Because I think you should.
I don't, but I really should start tracking them. Mm-hmm.
And also to add, we have just recently, this past year, added a security camera policy to the university, where it gives kind of the guidelines of when people have to, when they're allowed to put in their own cameras in those cases, like the labs sometimes, or when they have to come through public safety. So anything dealing with safety, or if someone wants it for surveillance type purposes, it has to be on the public safety system. So this is a pretty new policy for the university, but it is out there, and we're trying to get more people, you know, aware of it, so we can make sure that we have some insight on all those safety issues and, you know, any kind of safety surveillance.
And what are the advantages to that policy and streamlining it all through public safety?
Again, so our investigators can have that access, can be able to see if something happens. They have that footage right there with them, and we don't have to try to find a way for them to download the video if it's on a different system or things like that. And then just to kind of have kind of a oneness on campus, to have everything kind of one system, and we aware of, you know, what's where and who has what.
They're working very hard.
They sure are.
I'm impressed. I keep saying it. I'm impressed.
I appreciate it. Cameras are huge. That.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you all think that, you know, any common questions you get or anything else you think that people might be interested to know about the cameras on campus?
We have a lot, more than people probably realize.
Definitely.
And we're continuing to grow every day. So just know that we do have a lot of cameras for our for the community safety. Mm-hmm. It's not to watch people and, you know, be in people's business, big brother or anything like that. It's just for those safety reasons, to make sure we are secure. And I'm sure it's a great level of, I don't know the word I want to say, assurance for parents to know that we have different, you know, we have cameras in elevators. Most people know that, especially in the dorms. So we can watch and, you know, have a way of just making sure we're all safe. Students are safe.
It's definitely a deterrent too when it comes to crime. You know, a lot of people don't realize having cameras up, people are looking. I know the common thief is just looking around, like you said, kind of looking at the area. He sees that camera, he's going the other direction. So yeah, no, it's huge. It's definitely huge.
Most times, like if a thief sees a camera, they're going to just go to an area with no camera,
right?
You know, and say that's an easier target. But that's where we step in and we cover that.
Now, I have a question. Is it okay if I ask a question, Kelly? Because I know I know you had a lot of questions.
You can ask a question.
I'm kind of one of those old school. I watch a lot of TV and, you know, the thief comes in, he steals something, looks at the camera. Can you guys pull like a facial recognition off of that camera? See, I'm that guy. I had to ask that question because I know a lot of kids still think that thing exists. So I'm just curious.
You can't necessarily have like a facial recognition where it pulls up somebody out of a magical database.
Right.
But if it's a known person, they can search against that. So like if somebody has been in the system before or something like that, they can cross-reference that picture. Another handy thing, we were talking about analytics and cameras. Let's say I go ahead and commit a crime wearing this exact outfit, you know, blue shirt, gray vest. If using those analytics, you can actually search with those specific terms and find a person wearing that exact, you know, that exact clothing on different camera streams. So it also cuts down on investigative time, having to pour through hours of footage. Just using those analytics, you can do quick searches like that.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. I'm glad I asked that question. I watch too much CSI. Does that show even come on anymore?
It does.
I watch a lot of those shows, and I'm like, does that really exist? So thank you for answering that question.
You are
it
welcome.
Does exist, but we don't necessarily have, you know, all those, especially the facial recognition. They do pride themselves, our security folks, and not invading people's privacy. So we don't want to have a lot of things, you know, where you have that facial recognition and, you know, kind of being a little invasive.
Wow.
Yeah, I imagine it's a balance between improving safety while also allowing people their privacy in public spaces.
Right.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Some privacy in public spaces. If you're in a public space, I guess it's a limited amount of privacy.
That's great. Well, I know it's about that time.
It
and
sure
I
is.
Definitely get to say it. You know what I'm about to say.
I do.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out.
You're welcome. I thought he was about to say something prolific.
No. See? Thank you. That is prolific nowadays.
Simple thing.
Well, that's true. That's true.
A lot of people don't even say thank you. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being on Bridging the Gap. You know, definitely glad to see you guys are working hard for the campus and the faculty as well. You know, so thank you for all that good stuff.
And thank you to everyone listening.
Yeah.
Because it's episode 5 now.
Woo.
In 2026.
First episode 2026, episode 5 of the podcast.
And we definitely got to thank 1819 Innovation Hub for having us. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. We will see y'all next time.
Whoop, whoop. We out. Peace.